Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. Angie still has the same top pros and reviews you've counted on for more than 20 years, only now you'll also get access to all the tools you need to make your home a happy place. Inside, outside, big or small, Angie helps you find the right solution for whatever you need done, all from your phone. It's simple to find upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. You can even search pricing guides to see what others paid for similar jobs and easily compare quotes from top local pros to make sure you're getting a fair price. From lawn care to repairing the AC to the project of your dreams, Angie has your home projects handled from start to finish. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, they'll cover your project up to the full purchase price plus limited damage protection with their happiness guarantee. Make your home an Angie home. Check out Angie.com today. And for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Hey guys, it's Christine. My one-woman show, Surviving the Ride, has been accepted into the White Fire Theater Solo Festival. It's one night only, Saturday, February 16th, at the fantastic White Fire Theater in Sherman Oaks, California. If you're in LA, guys, I really want to see you there. Head over to ChristineBlackburn.com for tickets and stick around after the show for a small reception. I hope you guys can make it. Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, talented author and screenwriter Teresa Lowe talks about her sugar daddy.
And I found this website called Seeking Arrangement, which is where sugar daddies can meet sugar babies and create what was called mutually beneficial relationships. After a few months of seeing each other, we planned a double date on his friend's yacht. While we're heading out to the marina, he asked me if I wanted to take a job at his company. He wasn't really clear about what I'd be doing, but he wanted me to be on his payroll so I was taken care of financially. It was an offer that I couldn't refuse.
Today on the show, we'll hear a fascinating story by writer Teresa Lowe talking about her sugar daddy. Stay close.
Hey, this is Teresa Lowe, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. And whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week with actor Keith Blaney. Keith told this story. It was a crazy story. I'll tell you that right now. He grew up in Miami in the 80s. A lot of drugs, a lot of crime. And it was his seventh birthday. I don't want to tell you the whole story, but I'm just saying it was his seventh birthday. And let me just say that the SWAT team ended up coming. So that can't be good, right, Teresa?
That sounds crazy.
I know. Now, you grew up in Kansas.
Yes, I'm from Kansas, from Coffeyville, really small town.
It does not sound like much crime.
Actually, we are the most dangerous town in Kansas. True story. Per capita, we have the most crime. There's only 10,000 people.
Crazy.
Yes, because even my house, we were we had a break-in where when we weren't home, people actually came to our house and like robbed us blind.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it just happens. It's a lot of crime.
Is there drugs there now?
I think there's always marijuana, and I think there is meth.
Yeah.
So there's a lot.
It just seems like in small towns when there's nothing to do, then meth comes in.
There's not a lot of money, and so people just do their drugs
nothing
and
else
just hang
do.
Out. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Coffeyville to Los Angeles, that's quite a jump.
Yeah, I moved out here.
For college, right?
Yeah, I went to USC. So I first went to the University of Kansas. And then after that, I went out to USC and I went to the film school and got a screenwriting degree.
Wow, that's fantastic. Good for you.
Thank you so much.
Well, listen, you guys, go back and listen to Keith Blaney talk about Miami and the SWAT team. And it is a crazy story about his seventh birthday, but not today. Oh, by the way, the reason why it's so crazy is his birthday falls on New Year's Eve.
Oh, so
there's
extra
always something
wild
going on. Yeah. Anyway, guys, not today, because I am here with screenwriter and novelist Teresa Lowe, and she brings forth a topic, my sugar daddy. And that is like, could not be more interesting to me.
Thank you. Thank you.
For many reasons. I mean, not just for the disparity between like a wealthy guy going after a young girl, but I mean, I don't know any woman who hasn't had some form of doing that or going out with a guy like that.
I think everyone has that fantasy, like even, Fifty Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they're in a relationship, but he's super rich. That's part of the appeal is that he can take her on a jet and like do all these things.
And buy her things.
Yeah, it's like a Cinderella story. Like, essentially, Cinderella is a story about being poor where a rich guy saves you.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Well, all Disney movies
are. All Disney's are.
It's gross. I know. It's totally gross. But I do hear, like, the idea of getting gifts is always nice. But what I do now is I get myself a FabFitFun box. Do you know those?
I've heard of them.
FabFitFun is such a great thing. And right now, the 2019 Spring Box is on pre-sale, and you've got to treat yourself, you guys. If you love discovering new products, if you are a beauty and fashion maven, and you're always on the hunt for the next best thing, I got to tell you, FabFitFun is just fantastic. Okay, so I just got my FabFitFun box. It's right over there. And some of my favorite things in this box I received are Pier 1 mini ceramic prep bowls.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Which are super fun. And I don't cook that much, but I put ice cream in them.
Oh, wow.
There's that. And then I also love this. It's called Thrive Cosmetics Eye Brightener. It's like a highlighting stick, which is really good for me because I don't wear that much makeup, but it, you know, gives me like an even tone. I love that. Yeah. And then there was this Dawnie Tricolor Scarf, which is like three scarves in one. Like black, gray, cream, all together. And the retail value on that scarf is $99.
Whoa.
So it's so funny because there's stuff in the FabFitFun box, like one item that could pay for the whole thing. So I got to tell you guys, FabFitFun is a really good thing to gift yourself or to somebody that you love. Like you could surprise your mom or your sister to show thanks or gratefulness. Or what if you have a daughter in college? Talk about a great care package.
That sounds cool. Like you can try things that you haven't seen before.
Exactly. And the best part about it is these are all full-size products. It's not like samples of this and that. It's all nice. Full-size. I know. I love that. You guys, get yourself a FabFitFun seasonal subscription box. It's delivered 4 times a year with beauty, fashion, home, fitness, and wellness products for just $49.99 a box. Again, full-size products of everything, and every box is guaranteed to have over $200 plus in a retail value. In fact, the FabFitFun box that I just got has over $350 worth of merchandise. It's fantastic. So you guys, sign up for FabFitFun today. I'm telling you, these boxes are fantastic, and they always sell out. And use my code STORYWORTHY to get $10 off your first box. So go to FabFitFun.com, use the promo code STORYWORTHY, you're going to get $10 off your first box. That's over a $200 value for $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use my code STORYWORTHY. You're going to get $10 off. You guys are going to love it. You know what I mean, Teresa?
That sounds awesome. It sounds like you're giving Christmas to yourself.
It is like that. Mm-hmm. And if you happen to be dating a sugar daddy, you could just say, hey, I heard about these FabFitFun boxes and you should buy me some.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, because then I'll think about you, you know, 4 times a year at least. No, listen, I have dated I guess you would call them sugar daddies. I mean, I think I love them. Mm-hmm. At least one guy I think I loved. He was like 18 years older, though.
That's the way to go. You have to go older.
It's pretty significant. And he did treat me to a lot of things, took me to a lot of things. You know, I was living in Pittsburgh at the time, and I was a flight attendant. So I would fly, you know, all over the place, and he would just fly to wherever I was. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. In fact, I met him on a plane, for that matter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. In fact, he was in first class, and mm-hmm. we were flying Pittsburgh to D.C., and he was just going down for a meeting with a senator and then flying back. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think I did love him, to tell you the truth. But all in all, at the end of the day, the age difference was way too great. And then he got controlling and... But then I did it again, you know, mm-hmm. with a comedian that I dated
right.
who ended up taking me, you know, on 2 really superior cruises.
That sounds fun.
One through the Middle East and one through Greece.
That sounds really fun.
It was really fun. So, I mean, I kind of hear what you're saying with the sugar daddy, but the whole time, especially like the second cruise going through Greece, the whole time I just kept thinking, if I were with somebody I loved, mm-hmm. this would be a flipping blast.
But on the same time, it's like we go on bad dates all the time, right? Yeah. And it's like if you're going to go on a bad date, why don't you go on a very extravagant bad date instead of a crappy one, you know?
Yeah, and I can't disagree because like I said, I've done this sort of thing. It's just now when I think about my daughter, what would I tell her? You know what I mean? So this guy wants to take you on this cruise through Greece. Mm-hmm. He's 18 years older. No, he was 15 years older than me.
Okay.
And you're not even attracted to him, but you're going because you want to go to Greece. I mean, like I get it. I did it, mm-hmm. but looking back, it's like I didn't want to sleep with him, mm-hmm. and I did. You see what I mean?
But people, I think it's that thing, it's like we go on these bad dates with people we're not attracted to or people who, you know, don't provide and whatnot. We still do that. So why not just go ahead and get the extra perks too? There's nothing wrong with that. It's kind of the same thing with men. They want a beautiful woman
on their side.
And women, they want companionship and they want someone who, you know, can show them the ropes and take them to nice places. And it's like, that's just what happens. You know?
No, again, I'm not judging for sure. I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to wrap my head around it, what I would tell my daughter. Because like on these ships, like everything, it was called Regent Cruise Lines, and everything's included.
Right.
So you can run all over the ship and eat and drink and do anything you want. There's no money ever being exchanged.
Right.
And this guy was such a drag, and I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to do those things. So we were never, ever, like, we were never a match in the way of, like, my personality and your personality. It was always like, he has money and he's providing, so you have to act this way and dress this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a huge inequality going on.
What would you tell, like, a little girl? Like, should you go on this date? But at the same time, it's like, okay, what about this? Is that if a group of friends want to go party on a yacht or something like that, and it's like, you could tell them, don't go. But if they want to go, what can you actually do?
I know, but I'm talking about a man's penis going in a woman's vagina, and she doesn't even like him.
Yeah.
It's just it's compromising your values and compromising what you should be standing for as a woman. Like, if you want to go on a cruise like that, then I would say to my daughter, well, you know what you should do, Alabama? You should work your ass off and take yourself on that cruise.
That's very true, too.
I don't know. It's a complicated thing, but you are a tremendous writer, and I'm very anxious to hear your story. But before we get to your story, I wanted to tell you one more thing about another product I found, and they are these yoga pants called Beta Brand. Have you heard of Beta Brand?
I haven't. What are they like?
Well, it's really interesting. They're literally dress pant yoga pants, meaning that you can wear these pants in a professional setting. Like, you'd never know you have on, like, these yoga pants. You'd never know. They come in all sorts of styles, like boot cut and crop, straight leg, leggings, and colors like black, navy, gray, khaki, and a huge selection for all shapes and sizes. So they look like regular pants, right? They've got a front button, they've got belt loops, and a faux zipper and pockets. And so you'd never think, like, she could just do a split right there in the middle of the floor, and her pants aren't going to split. It's fantastic. I love these pants I got, I'm telling you. In fact, I chose the straight leg style because that's kind of, I always wear straight leg pants, and I've already worn them like 5 times. These moms at school always say to me, like, look at you. You're all, like, dressed up. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, yeah, these are yoga pants, and you don't even know it. So it's really a lot of fun.
So you could actually go to the gym in the yoga pants and look like you're going to go somewhere and
exactly
then leave the same
way. And go to lunch.
That's awesome.
And then you're ahead of the game. Or go to lunch in the yoga pants and then go on to the gym. It's like a seamless transition. It's really fantastic. And if you guys visit betabrand.com/storyworthy, you'll get 20% off yours. Visit betabrand.com/storyworthy. You're going to get 20% off. I'm telling you, millions of women agree that these are the most comfortable pants you're ever going to wear to work. It's betabrand.com, betabrand.com/storyworthy, you're going to get 20% off your dress pant yoga pants. I'm a giver, Teresa.
I want some. It sounds awesome.
I'm telling you, they're really cool.
Because I hate bringing extra clothes to the gym to leave and come in.
I know, that's so true. That's so true.
Easier. Yeah.
I know, and then you have to get the locker. You got to get a lock. You have to take the thing. Mm-hmm. It's a hassle.
And sometimes I don't want to wear real pants when I even go to the store. I want to wear yoga pants, but I don't want to look like I'm trying.
Exactly.
So that sounds good. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, you guys. Before we get to Teresa's story, I did want to remind you to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at StoryWorthy and check out StoryWorthyPodcast.com. You know, just because I built the site. I know what I'm doing. And also, you guys, I would be remiss not to mention my other podcast out there called Screwed Up Stories with comedian Rachel O'Brien. Go over to screwedupstories.com. I'm telling you, Screwed Up Stories is just hilarious. You're going to love it. It's women from, you should come on this show as well, Teresa.
Oh, sounds good.
It's women all over the country. Most women are authors or actresses or comedians, and they tell stories about screwing up.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds perfect for me.
Who has not done that? And it has been so funny. I'm telling you guys. You just have to check it out. ScrewedUpStories.com. And then, of course, check out my game show, Story Smash, as well at StorySmashShow.com. All right, you guys. She's here right now. Teresa Lowe. She is a screenwriter and a novelist, like I mentioned. Now, she published the Amazon bestseller Hell's Game and the Red Lantern Scandals. But I got to tell you, Hell's Game just looks scary as shit.
It is scary, yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because so there's this town in Kansas called Stoll, and it's supposed to be like the gateway to hell.
The cemetery.
Yes. And so I kind of based my book off that because it's supposed to be that on Halloween, the gateway opens and it's like creepy stuff happens. Like you're not allowed to go to the cemetery. Like cops actually monitor.
For real. Yeah.
For real. And so I kind of based everything off that.
And then in your book, one kid goes missing.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, you are such a great writer. Now, would that be considered a YA novel?
It's YA horror, yes.
YA horror. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Because when I was growing up, I read a lot of, like, R.L. Stine, those books. And so I just kind of, like, okay, you can do scary stuff for a young audience. And so I really want to do that.
Well, my mom, what she did when I was a kid, her trick was to leave Stephen King books laying around the house, like Carrie and Shining. And then I would pick those up, especially Carrie. I just remember flying through that book.
Yeah.
You know, and I just loved horror. I still love horror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it one of your favorite genres now?
I also really like Stephen King a lot, too.
Me too.
Like Needful Things. That's my favorite book.
Forget about it. Needful Things was so good. That was the one set in a small town and the guy had a shop.
Yes.
And people would come in and whatever they needed, he would be able to provide.
Yes. It's like, be careful what you wish for.
That's
everything
right.
was bad.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. I'm telling you. And I love him on Twitter as well.
He's so funny political.
Yeah.
And
he's
He does what he wants, and he earned it.
If you had to sit down with anybody, you know, or you could sit down with anybody for dinner, with anybody for dinner, I would probably say Stephen King.
Yeah, I loved his book on writing as well. Like, that helped me so much to be a better writer.
And then your other series of books you did, The Red Lantern Scandals. This is super interesting. It's kind of like behind the scenes of Asian escorts. Is that right?
That one's a little different. So it's about four women in LA, and they're Chinese American, and it's like their sex lives, but they're not actually escorts. So the lead character, she works at a nightclub, which I actually worked at an Asian nightclub here in LA. And so it's kind of based on like the wild hijinks that happened at the nightclub.
Yeah, but you also highlight that the women are super smart. They're not being taken advantage of, right?
Yes, but it's not like Sugar Baby Club, I guess you can kind of say would be more escort-ish, but Red Lantern Scandal is just more about these four women and their lives, and it's an erotica series, but it's more just about, like, these women, they have different jobs, and, like, it's kind of like a Sex and the City.
Yeah. Have your parents read all your books?
I don't think so. So that kind of helped a little bit. And I also, I'm a journalist for Hustler Magazine, and so it's kind of like, I think people, they all know what I do, but nobody really, like, reads what I do. So I guess that's good.
You're so funny. You're so bright. You've also written for companies like Pop Sugar, BuzzFeed, Law Crossing, Yahoo, Next Shark, and like you said, Hustler Magazine. And you won the grand prize. I don't have to tell you this. I'm telling everybody else this.
Okay,
I act like I'm telling you, but it's not.
I love it.
You
repeat
know
it
this.
To me.
You won the grand prize in the Script Pipeline Screenplay Contest, and you were a finalist for the Universal Pictures Emerging Writers Fellowship. Darn it, why didn't you win that? Shoot.
I think I give weird interviews. Honestly, I always get to the finalist stage, and I think, like, people meet me, and I just say, like, weird things. And, like, I was a finalist for the Fox Writing Fellowship, and it was during, like, the Me Too era is when I was doing my interview. And she's like, so what are some of your favorite shows? And at the time, like, all these people were getting outed as being perverts. And I was like, well, everything I like, everything's run by perverts. And they just looked at me like, I can't believe you said that. And then the interview was recorded. So it was like a Skype interview. So I was like, oh my God, they have this for posterity.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's like, I know I should be saying the right thing. Like, even if you're just saying bullshit, just say something.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't not lie. And
you are so funny.
I gave like the worst interviews because I'm too honest.
But listen, it's all on a body of work anyway. You know what I mean? It's never going to be one thing. And you are going to win one of those. You will.
Yeah, as long as they don't talk to me and hear my opinions on things.
You are such a talented girl. You guys can find Teresa over there on Twitter at @TeresaLowe_tweets. @TeresaLowe_tweets. And also on Instagram at @TeresaLowe_writer. All right, you guys, whoever you are, put your hands together for Teresa Lowe.
A few years ago, I wanted to write a new book, and I was trying to come up with ideas. I ended up deciding I wanted to research the sugar daddy lifestyle after I met this guy online. He invited me to a party at his house, which turned out to be a mansion. But while I should have just been impressed, I was more shocked. At the age of 29, I was one of the oldest people there. Even weirder, a lot of his exes were also at the party, and some of them were just out of college. Me and this guy had maybe a 10-year age gap, but his exes were almost 20 years younger than him and were friends with each other. It was weird to me that the girls were cool with this makeshift harem, and it seemed like he wanted me to buddy up with them too. One of the girls and I talked for a while at the party, and we became Facebook friends. I did a deep dive on her social media, and I was fascinated by her life. She was younger than me, but she was so glamorous. She had designer stuff, drove a fancy car, and was always traveling the world and eating at expensive restaurants. This girl was barely out of college and didn't work a real job. She said she was quote-unquote an entrepreneur, and I wondered if maybe she had a trust fund or something. But my best friend, who I had roped into stalking this girl online with me, pointed out some weird things about the girl's posts. Sometimes the girl would be somewhere, and she'd tag a guy and thank him for taking her out. My friend said it seemed like rich guys were the real money behind her extravagant lifestyle, and then I remember that the guy who threw the party said he had given her money and gifts before, too. I started to paint a picture of what was happening, and I was fascinated. After all, my whole life I had to work hard and lived fairly cheaply. My parents owned a Chinese restaurant in Kansas, and I was forced to work there since I was 12. Growing up, we weren't poor, but my parents were strict about living modestly. We clipped coupons and wore clothes from Walmart, and our house was just filled with mismatched furniture. When I moved to LA, I was constantly working multiple jobs at once to make ends meet, and luxury wasn't something that I got often. I was jealous of this girl whose life was better than what you'd see on TV and who got it so easily. Meanwhile, I was stuck in low-paying jobs where I was scolded for wanting a dollar an hour raise. I decided to write my next book about these people. I did a bunch of research online and I found this website called Seeking Arrangement, which was where sugar daddies could meet sugar babies and create what was called mutually beneficial relationships. Now, any healthy relationship should be mutually beneficial, but in the sugar world, a mutually beneficial relationship means that the sugar daddy lays out his needs and the sugar baby is given compensation to meet those needs and not ask for more. So I created an account on Seeking Arrangement. And I uploaded pictures of this Asian girl I found on Google Images. I made up a fake name and persona and said I had just graduated from college. I told myself that I was just going to meet guys to grill them about their lives and I wouldn't actually get into a relationship. There were a ton of blogs about the do's and don'ts of being a sugar baby, and I figured interviewing sugar daddies combined with the blogs would give me enough material for a book. Like other types of online dating, I got a mix of good and weird messages once my account was up. But the normal guys, I'd agreed to meet for coffee. Most of them were married and wanted a young mistress, or they were guys who wanted a friend with benefits. I was on the site for weeks and I became addicted. I loved being this 23-year-old character that I created, and I loved hearing these guys' twisted stories. The fantasy was fun because it was like I got a life do-over. And it was like a no-consequence performance that never trickled into my real life. That is until I met this guy I'll call Matt. Matt was a CEO from up north, and he said he was 42, had two kids, and was separated. He was in LA on business. The company he owned had a branch here, and I agreed to meet him for coffee. One thing that struck me about him was that he was really handsome and open about his identity, which is not usual for the site. His writing was also friendlier and less businesslike than the other guys I encountered, which was another odd thing. So before the date was supposed to happen, Matt hit me up and said he had a work conflict. He wanted to reschedule and get drinks that night instead. I normally wouldn't agree to drinks because it's hard to lie when drunk, but he seemed different, so I decided to make an exception. In real life, Matt was even more handsome than I had expected. He looked like a young Dennis Quaid, and he had this unpolished aw shucks kind of charm to him. It was weird to me that such a catch would be on a sugar daddy website, but he said that he had just separated and wasn't good at meeting women because he was a dorky dad type. He said his friend recommended he try Seeking Arrangement, but he said he was too awkward to find any success. We ended up chatting for hours, and I eventually told him about my book and my real identity. After a few glasses of wine, he told me that he had cheated on his wife when they were married, and he felt bad about sneaking around. It was nice being vulnerable with someone, and things seemed to click. Matt said he was coming back to LA the next week for business, so we made plans to hang out again. On his next visit, I joined him for a few days while we stayed at a 5-star hotel. During the day, we'd work by the pool, and at night, we went out to places I definitely couldn't afford as a freelance writer. I felt like that girl I'd met at the party, and I loved it. Matt ended up coming to town about twice a month, and each time was just as fun as the last. After a few months of seeing each other, we planned a double date on his friend's yacht. While we were heading out to the marina, he asked me if I wanted to take a job at his company. He wasn't really clear about what I'd be doing, but he wanted me to be on his payroll so I was taken care of financially. It was an offer that I couldn't refuse. Later on, I'm on this yacht with him and his friend's date, and all I can think is, wow, sugar dating is amazing. But I guess anytime you feel too happy about life, things go to shit. Apparently, his friend had a crush on me, and days later, he found me on social media wanting to go out. I told him I was dating Matt, and this guy was like, you do know he's married, right? I knew Matt was legally still married, but he said he was separated and they lived in different houses. But I also wondered, why would this friend think it's okay to hit on me, and why would he say that in the first place? So I confronted Matt the next time he came to town, and it turned out, yep, Mr. Too Good to Be True was too good to be true. Matt admitted that he was still married, and he was overall happily married. And since he was coming clean, he admitted that the story of him cheating on his wife was only partly true. He had cheated on her with a woman who worked for him, and he had lied to me that the affair was over. He still had his wife, and he still had that mistress. So essentially, I was the mistress to the mistress. Even weirder about the situation, his wife was his age and Asian. His mistress was about 15 years younger than the wife and also Asian. I was a few years younger than the mistress and Asian. This guy was essentially collecting younger versions of the same woman. I then asked Matt if he was still using Seeking Arrangement. I remember how he said he didn't like the site or the people on there, but that was a lie too. He admitted he had slept with almost 15 women he met, and he had fed them all his dorky dad act too. He told me that he paid these women a few $100 to sleep with him without a condom, but then tried to tell me that I was the only girl from the site he actually dated. I'm sure that was a lie too. Matt seemed to be so relieved to talk about his sex addiction that he admitted he was 55, not 42. At this point, I was amazed that he was even a CEO, but that part was true. He had a page on some business review site, and a lot of his employees said he was a sociopath. At this point, I knew we were over because both of us liked the fantasy that each other brought, but this reality was too ugly and uncomfortable to move past from. After our confrontation, I thought about what would happen if I didn't know the truth about Matt. Would ignorance have been bliss? Would a cushy life with a handsome millionaire have been nice, even if it were a lie? Knowing myself, it'd be a dream to marry a rich guy who loved me, but being a sugar baby was not being loved. It wasn't worth it. Over a year later, I published my book, The Sugar Baby Club, which was largely about Matt. I sent him a copy and let him know he inspired the book. And like the sociopath he was, he wrote me back that he loved it.
Oh my gosh, Teresa. That is such a great story.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. Now, the Sugar Baby Club that you wrote, that book, I didn't read the book, but I read the synopsis. Basically, like you're in your dorm room, you're in the girl's in college, mm-hmm. and she basically starts running this sort of an escort service out of her dorm room.
Yes, pretty much, yes.
Yeah, well, you had a lot to draw upon.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was about meeting this guy and like all these stories that I heard about it. Because it's interesting about the whole sugar daddy, sugar baby thing. It's not really supposed to be like an escort John situation. Like an escort John situation is like a one and done kind of paid thing.
More sex and then we're done.
Yeah, but versus like a sugar daddy, sugar baby, it's actually supposed to be a relationship with maybe terms, but it's supposed to be more of a relationship.
Yeah.
But it's interesting when you go on that site, it's a mix of everything. Yeah. Some people do want like a relationship with, you know, gifts and all that. But some people just flat out just want to give people money and stuff.
So is that seekingarrangements.com really a site or whatever?
It's still a site. It's very, very popular. I think they have, or I'm not sure of the exact numbers, but they have millions of users. It's mostly the girls or the boys who are looking for sugar mamas, sugar daddies.
So it can go the opposite, right? Can there be a super wealthy woman and she wants a hot young guy?
Yes. And it can also be the same thing where same-sex relationships as well.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. And so in this situation, when you go to like seekingarrangements.com, are there actually verbal words said or is it in writing like what they want and what they're willing to do for you? I mean,
it's kind of a mix because some people on there are trying to find relationships that I think the most popular thing that's on there is the whole mistress situation. And mistresses, it is a relationship, right? But some people flat out, like there's certain terminology where you could tell they want more of an escort type of thing where they're saying pay per meet.
Oh my gosh.
That's pretty much just pay per meet thing. Yes.
Pay per meet, meaning I meet you and we have sex.
They never say sex, but it's kind of like, let's say they do a pay per meet and you go and you just walk around the mall and drink coffee or something. Mm-hmm. They probably will give you like a couple $100 or something, but you'll probably just never be asked out again.
Do they usually pay people like in cash or is it like a Venmo now? Or
I think it's a mix because people do cash. Some people just want gifts. Some people want tuition.
Oh my gosh.
I think the reasoning is just because it's like, when you start dating someone long term, people end up supporting each other one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's just a faster, more escalated way of doing that, I guess.
How long did you go out with Matt from the first time you contacted him until you were done?
I would say almost 4 months.
So did he break your heart?
I was pretty bummed out because I also felt like I was tricked because I felt I was so clever because I gave people a fake name, I had fake pictures, I had a story, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to like anybody. And I really didn't think that I would end up dating someone from this site.
Yeah.
And then I did date someone, and then I think it's because he fooled me with how sweet he appeared.
Yeah.
And then really, if you think about it, you don't become CEO of a multi-office company by being a nice guy. He's probably more of a shark. And so I was like, it was just stupid of me all around.
I'm telling you, it breaks my heart because I'm thinking about that date where you decided to be honest with him, you know, and you told him, look, I, you know, sent out this fake profile. So you never put your own photo on the site?
No, what's kind of a funny story is I used fake photos, but I one time found someone had faked and stole my pictures from the internet. So I was just like, what is happening?
Wait a minute. If you had a fake photo of and then you meet them, they know you're not the person.
This is crazy. People could not tell. And I don't know if it was like a race thing or what, but people could not tell.
Or they maybe see they long, didn't care. Dark hair or whatever.
Yeah, they just did not seem to care.
So that night you get all honest with him and you say, listen, I want to tell you this because you've been drinking. And like you said, if you want to lie, you better not start drinking.
Yeah, you don't drink. You just get the coffee. Coffee's safe.
But you were drinking. You disclosed that you had lied and you come clean. Then he comes clean, but everything he says is a lie.
Yeah, I think the thing is that he told me who he was and he told me his company name. And so when I Googled that, I was like, oh, this is real.
It makes sense.
And so, you know, even the story he told still made sense. Because he even had a reason of like, I'm separated. We live in separate houses. It's because I cheated on her, but we don't have an official divorce because I don't want to split my company, which it makes a lot of sense.
It makes sense.
And so, and also, why would you even lie? Like, who cares? If you're on a site like this, the whole purpose is to just be like, you know, who cares? Be yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So when he would go back up to, you said he was in San Francisco?
Yeah.
So would you guys be texting at all? I mean, he came into town twice a month, but other than that.
We message all the time.
You message all the time.
So his
wife wasn't seeing those messages.
I don't think so. I mean, like, it was also kind of weird because he would send it on his work email, but I think because he's the CEO, he just didn't care. He's like, whatever, I could do whatever I want.
I was thinking maybe he had two phones or something.
I don't think so. I think maybe she just didn't notice because he's also traveling everywhere. I think the company had branches in LA, I think Vegas, Miami.
Yeah.
So this guy's out all the time. And probably for her, she's like, the biggest threat is the woman who worked there. Because even crazier is that she was the mistress that lived in the town was his former babysitter.
Oh,
not his babysitter, but babysat their kids. Like, it was such a cliche.
Yeah.
And so for her, she probably thought he's safer out of town than at work because that woman still worked there. And they couldn't fire her because, you know.
It's just so frustrating that I guess, you know, he's thinking because I've got this money and I have this charm, then I can have the wherewithal to fuck over three different women. And not just you three. I mean, all the other people he'd seen too. Or he wasn't fucking them over. He was playing his cards and going out in a yacht.
He gets away with it, right? Because his wife knew he cheated with that mistress because he bought the mistress a condo and that's how she found out about their thing. And but it turned out that I guess when the wife was younger, she had been a mistress herself. So she was a little bit like, well, I get it. At least I'm the wife now.
Yeah.
It was a very like a weird thing where people are just like, Who cares, I guess.
I definitely know people in long-term relationships that have a healthy cheating life outside their relationship. I know these people, and that I think that their spouses know. Mm-hmm. And they just, even a buddy of mine I played tennis with, he's like 80 years old, mm-hmm. and he's gay, and he talks about stepping out with one of his boys. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, and I said, well, what about Henry? And he says, that's a different name, of course. He says, I said, what about Henry? And he says, oh, no, it's fine with him. It's fine. Henry understands. And I'm just like... Okay, I mean, I guess everybody just has...
It's almost like a don't ask, don't tell kind of thing, right? Yeah, yeah. And so I guess, I don't know if the mistress knows about how he had seeking arrangement girls. I don't even know if the wife knows he had seeking... Because also, I didn't even know he still had his wife. So it's like, this guy had, like... He liked the idea of dating everybody.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Well, where does he get the time? I guess he gets the time when he's on business, but I'm thinking, like, I wonder where his children play in his life.
I actually wonder if he doesn't see his wife that much. Like, maybe he's more of a dad and they're together out of, like, a partnership kind of thing, him and yeah. his wife. And maybe it's that. Maybe the wife has a separate life, but they're just together to be together, like companions. I'm not really sure.
Was there any time in the time that you dated him that he ever wanted to escalate things with you? Like, oh, man, I could see you in my future. I mean, not just working for me, but, like, really with me.
I think it might have been the work thing because... If I was on his payroll, that gives him an excuse to come down, an excuse to, like, provide for me, yeah. but through his company. So I kind of think if we would have got to that step, I don't know what would have happened next. But it would have been become a dependency thing the way the first mistress did, mm-hmm. right? Because she worked there. Mm-hmm. He bought her a home. So I think it was almost that thing of just, like, if I maybe had never asked a question, if maybe that friend had never, you know... ruin things kind mm-hmm. of thing. I don't know. Maybe I would have had the same life that mistress had.
So that guy that ended up Facebooking you or whatever, the guy that found you on social media, mm-hmm. his friend, did he ever find out what all came down after this?
I don't think he cares. I think it's more like, I kind of think it's this, is that if he knew that this other guy was married and I'm going around with him, and then he also kind of knows this guy's wife, he probably just thought, oh, you're just another mistress. If you're cool with this, why yeah. would she be cool dating
yeah
me?
Because like, we're all girls. Under this understanding and you yeah. know we're all have the same we're all you know we're all adults here mm-hmm. and you know what the score is and he knows what the score is yeah. and this is the game we're playing.
So I don't think he gave a, I think it's weird these guys just don't give a crap. It's almost like when I was talking about that party where the guy's ex-girlfriends were all just hanging out and like yeah. there. And I just think it's like people are just like, is that okay with you? And for some people it is okay.
I guess so. I just feel like, and the couple of relationships that I was in that I knew I shouldn't have been in them. Mm-hmm. You know, there was definitely that exchange going on. But at the end of the day, I kind of got my heart broken on both because I think I thought I could change that dynamic. Yeah. Like how can't, they're going to fall in love with me. How couldn't they?
Yeah. I have the same thing where
it's tricky.
I think it's like you want to fall in love. And these people kind of, they're so charming. They make you think that you're special. And I think that's what makes, because it's, think about this too. It's like CEO, he could have easily had just a normal sugar baby relationship without the lies. He could just say, hey, I'll give you an allowance. I'll see you every once in a while. I'm not going to leave my wife. He could yeah. have been honest,
yeah,
right?
Keep it up front. Yeah.
But I think he got the thrill of feeling like someone else loves him. And so it's like for him, he's like, oh, I have multiple families. Like I know a few girls where their dads travel a lot to China. And here they have their American family. And then in China, they have a second family. And then the wife here finds out she'll like divorce or whatever. But he wants to feel like I have a family everywhere I go. He doesn't want this like illusion of being like, oh, it's a sleazy relationship. He wants to feel like, even though what he's doing is sleazy, he wants to feel like it's real.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
not real, at least for the women don't get something real.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, if life gets this complicated, what I would do is I would meditate.
Yes.
No, seriously, that brings me to a new sponsor I have called Headspace. These guys are fantastic. Headspace, I'm telling you, Teresa, it's your guide to health and happiness. In fact, in just 10 days of Headspace, because I've been doing this now for almost 2 weeks, really, it has totally reduced my stress levels. And I have to tell you, it's increased my happiness. It will teach you life-changing skills of meditation and mindfulness in just a few minutes a day. And that was key for me because I don't have a lot of time. So Headspace is like 5 minutes a day. It's like taking a wellness break. Headspace has hundreds of meditation sessions on everything from stress to sleep. There are SOS exercises for meltdown moments, which I would have had in that situation you were in.
It sounds like I need Headspace.
Exactly. It's also good just to do these mini meditations for when you're really busy like I am. And with Headspace, you'll be guided every step of the way by the Headspace co-founder, this guy named Andy, who has a very soothing voice, I will say. And he spent 10 years training as a monk. Yeah, so this guy knows some stuff. He's very calm, and the guided exercises help you add a touch of mindfulness to your daily activities, whether you're cooking or commuting, eating, whatever. So you guys can start your journey towards a healthier, happier life by subscribing to Headspace. And if you sign up now at headspace.com/storyworthy, you'll get a free month trial. You have nothing to lose, you guys. You got to try this. Sign up online at headspace.com/storyworthy, and you're going to get a free month's trial. And start meditating today. I'm telling you, it helps.
Meditation has really helped me a lot. Sometimes I just feel so stressed and I need to have a break. Yeah. And think about my thoughts and stuff.
Yeah, I actually look at it on my phone at night before I go to bed because they've got like a meditation to get you to go to sleep. It kind of winds you down.
Oh, that would be really helpful.
It's a really good one.
I know. Need that.
So let me ask you something. Would you ever do this situation again?
No. I think for me, I think I would love to snag a rich boyfriend or a rich husband, mm-hmm. but I don't want a sugar relationship. Yeah. Just because, I mean, it's almost like when you get stuff, they think, well, I can lie to you. I could do this things to you. So when you accept upfront that you're wanting some sort of transactional exchange, you're also exchanging something else too.
Yeah.
You're giving away the right to commitment. You're giving away the right to like ask questions.
Yeah. And
like
you're giving away your body.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're attracted to them, that's one thing. But if you're not attracted to them, it's a gross feeling.
Well, this situation was hard because I was attracted to him. I was fooled to think that I was really in a relationship with him.
Yeah.
But on his end, he's like, ha ha, I got another person to be tricked and I was going to take care of you.
So, I hate him. You know. It makes me so angry.
Yeah.
It's just like it's like condescending and it's manipulative and it's upsetting. And I'm glad it only took you 4 months to figure it out, you know?
But I also wonder if that friend never came around, maybe I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, wow.
You know? Or at least I would have been so wrapped up in it. Because also, I didn't take that job or I wasn't even offered that job for a while, right?
Yeah.
But what if I had taken it right away and that was my only source of income?
Yeah.
I would have been trapped.
Yeah,
but
you
the way
been.
The first mistress was.
Yeah.
It's so
really a heck of a story. And I can totally see how you got your book out of it.
Yeah.
Because
that's
you
true.
Saw what other kind of extravagant gifts, or have you ever seen anybody else get really extravagant gifts for this sort of arrangement?
Well,
besides getting taken to Greece on a cruise.
I mean, that's a big gift.
You're
like
not
the trips and all that
You're
stuff.
Not kidding.
I think it's like what people described. So when I would go on these like coffee dates, what I liked about it was that people would talk about their prior sugar babies.
Yeah.
And one guy said he would never give money, but he'd always buy her like a Chanel purse, which is still like hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know how much that costs. But like, yeah, so it's like everybody, I guess, has different things of what they give.
I have to say, like, I like having nice things like a Tiffany necklace or a special bag or whatever. But at the end of the day, that is all just stuff.
Yeah.
It's just stuff. And frankly, if you're into that stuff, you got trouble ahead because that stuff's going to change. In 3 months, it's going to be out of style.
Yeah.
If you feel like you have to keep up, you're in trouble because you're never going to catch up.
Well, stuff is addictive, right? Like the languages of love. Gifts is actually a language of love. So it's like if that's your language of love and you become addicted to gifts, you could actually start loving someone because they keep giving you things.
Wow.
Like, and I was just thinking about that, even that girl that I became obsessed with at the party where it's like she had so much cool stuff.
Yeah.
And, like,
and so young.
And she was so young and she didn't work. You know, like I met some of her other friends and they would talk about these jobs that it was almost laughable. Like, you know, when you watch reality TV and people talk about their fake jobs and you can just know like your mom and dad are paying for that.
Yeah, exactly.
That was what it felt like. But then I was like, is it her parents or is it a guy? But she would talk about these fake jobs and she'd like, you know, walk around with like her designer purse. She'd be going everywhere. It
but
was
like,
just
what happens
crazy.
If then she got sick or she was in an accident and then she can't be as beautiful as she was? Then where is your worth?
I wonder if it's the same thing as, like, let's say you work a crappy job, right? Like, I've taken so many crappy jobs where, like, you know, you had to beg for, like, 15-hour, 20-hour.
Oh,
and it's like, if you got hurt there, it's like they're not giving you benefits and whatnot versus, like, this girl being a sugar baby or whatever she was, she probably had more money and cash worth of stuff that she could liquidate versus, like, me taking these, like, honest jobs.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember these honest jobs.
But you can live with yourself. Well, she seems to be too.
I know, because I don't even know if that's really true, because I took this job where, you know, it was like a journalist job, but they wouldn't give me benefits. And I remember I was doing really well and I asked for a raise. And this guy said, "You don't have kids. You're not married. Why do you need more money?"
Wow.
And it just made me feel so crappy about myself that I really wondered. I was like, why am I giving so many hours of my life for barely any money, no respect? And it's like, you know, when we talk about like sugar babies, sure, you might be selling your body technically. But and another thing, it's like I sold my time. Like this other job took my time, took my energy, took my ideas and creativity and just treated me like crap.
Yeah.
And I didn't even end up with like that much to live off of. So I was like, what's actually worse at the end of the day? Not saying one is better than the other, but how honest is it when I can't get the same amount of pay as like the guy who worked there?
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that where I'm like, I don't know. It really started to just change my way of thinking about life and about time.
You are very interesting, and you've got a lot of maturity under your belt because you've seen a lot of things, you've done a lot of things, and this is just it's fascinating.
I have like a really weird ideas about thoughts and time because I'm like, do you ever read about that movement called FIRE? I'm like obsessed with that because I'm obsessed
F-Y-R-E,
with the idea about time, right? Where it's like, sure, someone who's decides to do sex work or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, but per hour, if like, let's say you're a stripper and people think, oh, that's bad. But if you're a stripper, you can make a few hundred dollars an hour and then you're done and you could live the rest of your life and do whatever you want. Versus me, when I worked at these like crappy journalism jobs, I barely made any money. I got fired whenever they felt like it.
Yeah, I know, but this goes back to what would you tell your daughter? I mean, it's just, you know, to be objectified and to be, you know, looked at only in one way, it's very hurtful. You know what I mean? I want to be known as smart, funny, quick-witted, and making good decisions that can give me a future. You know what I mean? You make those decisions as a young girl to strip or to do lap dances. Okay, yeah, there's some money, et cetera. But then what happens when you want more or you get sick or you want a child or that guy he leaves you because he thinks, you know, you don't respect yourself. Why would I respect you? It's just a big basket of confusion.
Yeah. No, I think about that too. Like, would I ever want like my niece to be a sugar baby? And I would say no. But at the same time, I also think my niece is really lucky because she has parents who provide for her, right? So what about people who don't have like a family support system?
Well, you're looking at me. I still don't. I mean, you know, but I have five jobs. I mean, I just do what I have to do.
Yeah.
It's called Patreon. No, I'm kidding. I actually do have a Patreon account, but I don't use it much. And I do wish people would go over there. But my father ingrained in me that we don't take charity. A Blackburn doesn't take charity. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I would say, but wait a minute. I'm creating this podcast from nothing. You know, I mean, and I've been doing it. So I'm giving content. I am giving something.
Right.
But it's just it's a fine line. It's a funny thing.
Yeah, I have such mixed feelings about everything, but I also feel like sometimes work, like I always think about people who work these like honest jobs and then their employer just lays them off right away, where it's like you gave your life and you're, you know, to somebody else who doesn't appreciate you. So it's like, I don't know, it's not necessarily like I think one's better than the other or one.
Well, I appreciate your open-mindedness. I really do. I think you're a really interesting person and I hope you will be on my game show.
I would love to.
That'd be great. All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Tweet Teresa over there on Twitter at @TeresaLowe_tweets, and then follow me over there as well at Storyworthy. And I want to give a big shout out to all the sponsors on the show today. Really, you guys, I hope you'll check out my sponsors, because when you support my sponsors, you're supporting me and my child, and I don't have to be a sugar baby. And on behalf of the very talented and terrific, you are just terrific, Teresa Lowe, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.